Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell, and we are just days away from the WWE Royal Rumble, the final edition, the go-home edition of Raw heading into the Royal Rumble has now passed, and with it, we got a bunch of legends, including one big one at the end. I thought there was a chance that we might see him. I thought they might save it for the pay-per-view and keep stringing the television audience along, a kind of an incentive to order the pay-per-view or the network, but it finally happened. We got Sting on WWE Raw. Of course, we got him back on the Nitro simulcast thing they did back in the day, if memory serves, but still, I mean, for Sting to make his first appearance directly for WWE on Raw, it's a big deal. And I thought we also got a lot of, basically Brock Lesnar positioned as a babyface tonight. At the very end of the show, when he was plowing through all of Triple H's court jesters, or as they're also known, Big Show, Kane, and at least getting his hands on Seth Rollins before Seth Rollins got out of there. A very interesting edition of WWE Raw, and a lot to talk about tonight. You can call in and join us if you're listening live at 773-897-6321. If you're listening to this on delay, about, tonight it was about, 28 minutes after Raw. Usually Raw will go, 10, 15 minutes past the hour, but we go 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern Time on Mondays, now through the night after WrestleMania here at blogtalkradio.com/prowrestlingdotnet. And you're also welcome to call in and listen to the show. Even if you don't feel like taking part and asking a question, you can call that same number, or the same number I'll give you here to call into the show and listen if it's just more convenient than listening on through a computer or something like that. The number for that is 773-897-6321. We already have a lot of people lined up. One quick thing before we get to it, before I forget, I did mention in my live review tonight that I found it pretty comical that JBL was mentioning Pat Patterson's birthday and talking about how he's one of the men that created the Royal Rumble. I'm sure, basically the idea is that Vince McMahon is the other. This was definitely this was Pat Patterson's baby. There's no denying that. Now, obviously Vince McMahon had to sign off on it, and I'm sure he had some input, but I would hope this isn't something that WWE is going to try to rewrite the history books with, because it's not. I can even tell you that Vince McMahon, when he first heard, when Patterson gave him the idea, it was essentially that battle royal with all the run-ins is how Vince McMahon referred to the Royal Rumble before it actually took place. He didn't quite comprehend it. So, Pat Patterson really was the guy. He was responsible for this. And so it just kind of made me cringe when they kind of made it seem like, well, he was one of the guys that did this. I don't know if it was intentional or if it was just JBL kind of using an odd choice of wording there. But Pat Patterson is definitely the creator of the Royal Rumble match. And I'm sure there was some tweaking and fine-tuning that went on. So, hey, Vince signed off on it. Vince gets some credit too, but I think it's only right to give Patterson the ultimate credit for that match. You can take part in the chat room. We've already got a couple of people going in there. Well, actually, it's me and Iconic One, but I'm sure that will fill up in no time if you're listening live. We usually get a good group of people in there chatting and having all sorts of fun, whether it's making fun of something I say, making fun of something one of the callers says. That I don't, like, hey, you call in. Let us make fun of you in the chat room. Again, the number to join us tonight, 773-897-6321. With all of that out of the way, let's start diving into these phone calls. We're going to start tonight. I'm going to guess it's 270, so is this Tyler from Kentucky?
Yes, sir, it is. What's going on tonight, Jason?
Oh, not too much, Tyler. Good to hear from you. Tyler is, I believe, a fairly new .NET member, and either way, it's great to have you on board again. What's going on?
Hey, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I've actually really enjoyed the site, tried to, spend a lot of time and then the forums and things like that. But the main question that I had is Lesnar, is he turning babyface, or is this just something that they're playing into because of the triple threat match?
That's what I came away with tonight at the end of the show. I really felt like Brock Lesnar was a babyface, and it wasn't like they were hiding from it. I mean, it wasn't like there was a turn during the show where he started playing to the fans. I mean, he was just Brock Lesnar throughout the night, but instead of targeting the heel or the babyfaces, he went after Seth Rollins. Big Show and Kane kind of got in his way. And so I don't know if they plan on, you know, if Brock's staying after WrestleMania and they plan on giving him a babyface run, or if Brock is leaving, or if it's just, hey, you know what, doesn't matter, it creates a little more interest in the Royal Rumble, that, you know, what's going on here? And keep in mind that last week, Seth Rollins was the guy who was actually, like, not intimidated by Brock Lesnar. They had their backstage stare down, and I thought it was so cool that Rollins just stood there and held his ground and didn't show any signs of being intimidated. But Tyler, tonight, the complete opposite for Seth Rollins. He was definitely very quivering, basically, when it came to anything involving Brock. So I didn't like that change, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, see, that's kind of the way that I felt, too. You know, I told you last week that I thought, you know, Rollins done an awesome job during the contract signing. And, you know, this week he was kind of playing into that, you know, he's kind of getting scared of Brock, I guess, but I don't know. I'm really looking forward to this year's Rumble because I just can't predict it as well as I used to be able to. You know, last year everybody just kind of seen it coming that Batista was going to win it, and now, you know, we've got all these new guys that are trying to win it. You know, I mean, you've got Brian in there that the fans are going to, you know, they're not going to accept. In my opinion, they're not going to accept that anybody else is going to win it. But I can also see Reigns maybe winning it, even though he's been booked terrible since 2015 started. But I don't know. I guess we'll see where it goes.
And you know what? I appreciate the call, first off, and I love that about this year's Royal Rumble. I don't – you know, they can still blow it on SmackDown. I pray they don't, because I've been saying this for a while. I love it when WWE doesn't over – do it and foreshadow the finish of their big matches, and they haven't given enough attention to the Royal Rumble match this year. I think that has suffered. They've, because of the addition of Seth Rollins and everything, they focus so heavily on the Triple Threat title match that I think they've lost. I think there was time to do both, and they just chose not to. I mean, when it came to really driving home the importance of the Rumble, the WrestleMania title shot, just everything that goes along with it, it's really taken a back seat. But maybe it's a blessing if they can avoid just foreshadowing and making us go into the Rumble feeling like it's a foregone conclusion that wrestler X is going to win. You know, last year, it was, yeah, Batista's the guy, but then as we got closer to Mania and we just saw the crowd reactions to Daniel Bryan, it was like, they have to do the right thing here, right? I mean, they can't possibly be this blind that they're just going to go with Batista. This isn't going to work, and they did. And so, I mean, there was a little bit of mystery there. I bought in, I just, because I'm a person who likes to believe that at the end of the day, the people that are making these decisions are going to ultimately do what's best for their business. And Daniel Bryan clearly was last year, but Vince McMahon was very stubborn in thinking Batista was the guy, and of course he had to reverse course and all that. But this year, I mean, it's not like it's just wide open and any one of 30 guys can win it. But, and I mean, hey, Roman Reigns is certainly a possibility, and Daniel Bryan is the other strong possibility, and we'll see on SmackDown. I assume Daniel Bryan gets into the Royal Rumble. I think it would be a hell of a downer on the final show before the Rumble if, oh, Daniel Bryan lost, he's not in the Rumble. That's not exactly a great way to sell your pay-per-view. So I don't think that's going to happen. So I assume both guys are in, and you know, that's definitely very interesting. The other part I want to throw out here before we get to more calls is that, well, keep in mind, they have a pay-per-view called Fastlane, and it's new. That's the February show replacing Elimination Chamber. What is Fastlane? And I know they have an advertised match that they put out there in local advertising. Who knows if it'll stick? It's just a kind of a random tag match. It's, you know, something that could headline Raw. I want to say it's like John Cena and Roman Reigns against like Seth Rollins and Big Show, maybe. It doesn't jump out as, hey, that's the pay-per-view before Mania's main event. In any way, there's nothing special about it. So I assume that's going to change. There's certainly rumblings that it will. But what is Fastlane? You know, is there some WrestleMania component to it? When you see Fastlane, is it just some generic title they came up with? Or is there some Fastlane way to get something at WrestleMania? So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things they could do. I hope they don't overcomplicate this by doing something that, you know, it really cheapens the Rumble, and they have to settle it at Fastlane. I don't want to see that. I want to see a definitive winner on Sunday of the Royal Rumble match and also the title match. You know, I'm looking forward to that as well. It's a triple threat, so, you know, it will get a pin. It's as they like to remind us, once the match actually starts, there's no DQs in a triple threat, so we'll see where that goes. But let's keep rolling through the calls. We do have so many of them tonight. I keep saying this is a one-hour show, and so far since we've returned, we've had so many calls. I end up going 90 minutes, and half the time I've, you know, or some of the times I'm leaving you guys, hey, we just don't have enough time to get to everybody. So I'm guessing we'll probably go the full 90 tonight too, but we'll see what happens. Oh, and also, hey, live coverage coming up. I will have live coverage on Sunday of the Royal Rumble, beginning with that kickoff show. So if you just happen to catch our audio, you don't follow us on the site, ProWrestling.net obviously is the site. You can also download our free apps. Wherever you get your apps, just do a quick search for ProWrestling.net or even Pro Wrestling, and we should pop right up. And I'll be doing live coverage and commentary on the 2015 Royal Rumble on Sunday night. And then the .NET members are going to have my exclusive audio review coming up after the show. We'll give you more information on .NET membership coming up a little bit later. Next in line is 248. Rabbit, is this
here
you?
Here we go.
Back in the familiar two spot, it's .NET member Rabbit. I definitely know he's a member. Rabbit, it's good to have you back in your familiar two spot.
Thank you. Listen, I was disappointed. Had I been in Dallas, I would have asked for my money back. I felt it was a total ripoff.
Well, how so?
Legends. If I had went there to see the Legends, I didn't go there to see Scott Hall on them. Look like a fool. You see Hogan for 2 minutes in the ring doing a thing, and then Ric Flair and Big Show making him look stupid. They basically insulted all the legends they brought in, and they used them really badly. I thought the legends were totally messed over. Even Shawn Michaels wasn't used right. I mean, it just made no sense to me. If they're spending all that money to bring those guys in, why can't they use them correctly?
You know what, though? We've seen WWE do so much worse with the legends. I mean, you go back to the Hogan era legends, most of the time not named Hulk Hogan, but, you know, just that early WrestleMania era, when they bring those guys in, it's usually for wacky backstage skits that, you know, sometimes, occasionally you'll get a funny one, whatever, but it's just everybody kind of doing their catchphrase, doing their bit, and Ron Simmons saying damn at the end. I would rather have what we got tonight than that stuff. At least they didn't make these guys out to be just complete lapping stocks, as they've done with some of those legends. It's tough, Rabbit, because, you know, you load up the show with all these legends on the same night you're trying to give final hype to your pay-per-view. I get it. You use the legends to bring people in, and then you sell them on the pay-per-view. I've seen much worse. I didn't come away from this really bothered. I definitely agree they could have done a better job with these guys, but, I mean, they stood tall over the Ascension, and granted, Ric Flair got knocked out, but at least I think he's probably on cloud nine tonight that he actually got to take part in a WWE angle, and even if it was just for, you know, a couple of punches and chops, and then he took a punch. So I didn't like the legend segment as much, the panel. I thought they could have done more with that, but it almost seemed like Shawn Michaels was out there to clown around more than he was to take it seriously anyway. So I guess I'm just not as down on this as you are.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they would do something with Shawn and Triple H, where they have a clique out there and they would crack some jokes. They would do something, you know, and it would be a lot of fun. And it never came about, and that really upset me, you know, because I would have paid money to see that, but not to see the clowning that I saw. Then Rusev comes out. And who does he face? They bring out R-Truth, who's Uncle Tommy, and it's an insult to black people. He's Uncle Tommy to all the white people in the audience, acting the clown. And that part upset me too. I thought that was kind of really dumb, having him coming out there acting the fool. But I mean, even playing that fool for so long. You know, I thought, why can't they have R-Truth be serious for once?
You know, our truth is what he is. I mean, he's been doing this act in TNA. He's been doing it, I mean, in WWE in some variation over the years. And we've seen heel R-Truth a little bit in WWE, and it really didn't go anywhere. I'm not a big fan of the act either. I just think what you see is what you get. But it's still, for some reason, that entrance routine generally gets a reaction from the live crowd. I'm actually more bothered by the New Day, because I think there's some talent there. I think they can do more with at least a couple of those guys. And there's nothing to it. They just, like, say New Day, and the crowd's supposed to say it back. And sometimes they do, and other times they don't. And I just don't see that one going anywhere.
Yeah, but New Day is totally ridiculous. I mean, so much hype for it. And it died a fast death, quicker than anything. I mean, and they used New Day when they first brought him in to kill Goldust and the Stardust and all their heat.
Well, I don't know that one's going anywhere either. I mean, there's a lot of undercard acts right now that just don't show potential. I mean, that's when wrestling can be fun. I mean, I'd rather be in the spot I think they are now, where they have some strong upper mid card to even potential main event level players. But I mean, we've seen, going back with this WCW theme they had tonight with the NWO there. I mean, think back to those days when you had this clearly a glass ceiling there, and you had a really talented mid card that just wasn't going anywhere. And I know there's John Cena kind of standing in the way in a lot of people's minds, and we may feel like that even more coming out of the pay per view if he wins that title on Sunday, which I'm not ruling out. I don't know, Rabbit. I don't think the undercard, though. I mean, I guess you have to go down to NXT. It is really where I see, not that there's no one on the roster with potential, it's just the way they're being utilized creatively, some of the gimmicks these guys have. There's not a lot going on in the WWE undercard, but if you go one step lower down to NXT, I think there's a lot of potential there.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Steen. The whole feud he's doing right now in NXT with Generico. I think the Steen-Generico feud in NXT is going to be just as good as it was in Ring of Honor and everywhere else that they had that feud.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. I don't want to get into any NXT spoilers, but I think we'll be seeing that match sooner rather than later. But, Rabbit, anything else from you tonight?
The other thing I wanted to say is on the pay-per-view Sunday, I'm going to watch it, but I'm not really, I know they said there's going to be legends that are going to be at the Rumble, and there's always surprise entrances and stuff. It was good seeing Sting tonight again, even if it was a 30-second cameo. But still, you know, seeing Sting come out again was wonderful. I thought that was great the way they hit it and kept it spoiler-free until he came out. I thought that was
absolutely
really good. That nobody knew he was there.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, he's a Texas guy now, so there's speculation. Well, he's in Texas, and this is a big show going into the Rumble, but if anyone did definitively report it tonight, I'm just not aware of it. Not saying I didn't miss something, but yeah, I mean, I like, even in my position, I do like when they manage to do their job. I mean, our job is to report these things, but their job is to make sure they don't get out. And as much as I like being a guy to break a story and things like that, I also the viewer in me likes to be surprised. So I thought that was pretty cool it was a surprise, I think, to at least most people, if not everyone. Rabbit, thank you so much for calling tonight. I definitely appreciate it. Good to hear from you again. Now we got to get Rabbit back on the Q&A. I mentioned .NET membership. I did the Q&A audio show for .NET members today. Coming up on Wednesday, I believe, the guys kind of have a loose schedule. I'm referring to the .NET Countdown show with Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt. Those guys get together and count down the highs and lows of the last week. It's a really fun audio show. Definitely recommended for .NET members. Every once in a blue moon, we'll put one of those out there on the all-access side. It's been a long time. We'll have to do it again, but it's not going to happen this week. So if you want to hear that show, that's one of the perks of membership. And then Will be my guest on this week's .NET Week. Weekly. He will be my co-host of the .NET Weekly audio show as we get you ready for the WWE Royal Rumble. Looking forward to having Will on. Today is actually Will Pruitt's four years of the site. I shouldn't say anniversary because WWE does that and we get mad when they blow it. So Will is 4 years ago today is when Will submitted his first piece, if I understood his tweet correctly earlier. And Will does a hell of a job for this site. And we will be running his Royal Rumble series of blogs. So look for those starting tomorrow. We're going to run one a day. And then the first batch, of course, are some of the stuff that he's done in the past. And then coming up, it will be Royal Rumble Sunday. He will have his new addition to this series. Will does some great series for the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Undertaker Streak, you may be familiar with that one. Will chronicling that. And so I definitely recommend you look for that starting on Tuesday. That'll be available to everyone. But on the member side of things, it is an ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. So if you're tired of the ads on the main page, hey, I don't blame you. But there is a solution. You can become a ProWrestling.net member for as little as $5.50 a month if you take our annual option. If you want to save yourself a little money and commit, you don't want to commit to the full year, there is a six-month price break as well. But if you want to just try it out for a month, see if it's for you. Great time, obviously, with the Royal Rumble. And then you'd also, let's see, we're at the 19th. Yeah, you'd have the next NXT show covered and all sorts of good stuff coming up here. Membership rates for 1 month is $7.50. So 1 month of membership for $7.50. You're obviously, if you have the network, you're saving some money on WWE pay-per-views. Throw a little bit of that our way, and I guarantee you're going to enjoy yourself. All if you enjoy this show, know that we have a ton of audio available exclusively to the .NET members. I mentioned the .NET Weekly show, the Q&A show, the .NET Countdown show. We also have reviews. Zach Zimmerman sometimes are on the all-access side, but know that every week they are available exclusively for .NET members. So if they're not on the all-access side, it's not that he didn't do one. It's just that they're that week it's available exclusively to members and a whole lot more. But membership info available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. You can't miss the sign-up area. Dive right in. Great time again with the Royal Rumble. We would love to have you on board, and you can correspond during the Rumble with a really good group of people in the .NET Members Forum. No drama, no nonsense as far as your opinion doesn't count because you're new here. Nothing like that. The folks that are hang out in the .NET Forum are really good. I just can't say enough good things about them. They basically police themselves, and it was my big concern launching that forum. Like, oh, what am I getting myself into? They make it easy, and I'm sure you'll have no problem making friends if you take advantage of our .NET membership options. Again, 1 month is $7.50, but if you want to save yourself some money, there's the six-month option and also that annual option. Look for that sign-up area right there on the main page at ProWrestling.net. All right, back to the phone lines. This is ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell, and the number to call if you want to join us tonight, 773-897-6321. Up now is 559. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Central Valley, California, folks.
What's your name?
Matt.
Hey, Matt. Matt from California. What's going on tonight?
Didn't find I'm a little sick. I've had the flu since Thursday, but I'm doing pretty well.
Don't even say that. My girlfriend was sick, and so far I've avoided it. I just have this bad feeling like somehow through the phone line or the computer, you were going to get me sick. So it's not her. I'm blaming you, Matt, so it better not happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually proud to say that on March 23rd, I'm actually going to be on the final Raw. Well, not on, but at the final Raw in L.A.
Oh, very cool. Well, we would love your help with some correspondent report from that show. Email me if you can on that one. But what's on your mind tonight?
My thoughts are with Daniel Bryan winning the Rumble, hopefully. And let's say if he wins, what other routes can he take to make this storyline seem more fresh than last year?
Well, it's kind of new in that if he wins the Rumble, yeah, you end up with Daniel Bryan challenging for the title again in the main event. One thing I do is I keep the Authority out of it. They won't, but that's one thing I would do. I want to see Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar, and I don't think you need to have the Authority involved in that. I think Paul Heyman sells it. I think Brock Lesnar and just the whole David versus Goliath element that there is there. I think Daniel Bryan is doing some really good mic work, the best of his WWE run since he's returned, because he's not just all smiles. He gets, he starts out smiley, and then by the end of it, he's fired up, and it's not over the top. top know stuff like he was doing when he was a heel. These are money promos, and I think they would only get better as you get closer to WrestleMania. So, I mean, that's how I change it up. And then as far as if you're just worried like, well, you know, I don't want to come out of WrestleMania and have the same celebration and all that, all right, have Seth Rollins cash in. But just give me my Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan match and make it for the championship. That's the key to me.
Do you think Bryan can take that one spot in the Rumble and do a whole Rumble without really risking injury again?
Can he do what? Just go through the Rumble?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm being naive here, but I really do believe that he's healthy. I mean, he's talked about it in interviews that, you know, he had this procedure done and he had to go through a battery of tests from WWE before they would clear him. And I'm sure there was some skepticism there because their doctors had tried various approaches with him and weren't successful. And then he went to Colorado and had whatever it was done. And he said he went there on his own dime. He didn't even seek their approval. He just went there and got it done. And next thing you know, he's feeling better. And so I'm sure there was some skepticism, like, yeah, right. So I would like to think they ran him through the full battery of tests and he's passed. And I mean, is he in the peak physical condition right now? No, probably not in terms of just like having his win back completely. And I think it would be more of a challenge for him to from that standpoint right now than maybe it would have been when he was on the road on a regular basis, but hopefully he doesn't have the nagging injuries that were holding him down and things like that right now. So, yeah, I think if they wanted to make him a number one or, you know, just an early entrant in the Rumble, I definitely think he could pull that off.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
Hey, I hope you feel better, Matt. It was nice hearing from you, and let's keep rolling through. 310, you're up next. Who are you and where are you calling from?
How's it going? This is Tom from Los Angeles. How's it going?
Hey, good, Tom from L.A. Wow, we're big in California tonight anyway. But what's on your mind?
Not too much. I thought the ending of the show was pretty good. I think it's kind of funny because just of how long people talked about Sting being on Raw. He shows up and it's to get Eric Rowan his job back from being fired. I don't know if that's the dream storyline anyone drew up. But I definitely thought it was a good end of the show. It at least adds an interest that wasn't really there prior to that. But I'll just try and keep my question to one of them. So we're almost at about a year of the WWE network. And it seems like, you know, so many times in this show, they're still just like, it seems that they think, like, if they tell us enough times that it's not that expensive, that we're all going to go out and purchase it. And I actually have it, but it, you know, I really only turn it on maybe a few times a month now. So what I'm wondering is, given that, you know, the level of content is still relatively the same, that they're still drumming the Attitude Era over our heads over and over again, and that they still continue to hawk the fact that it's $9.99 and that's really the main thing as opposed to focusing on making their product better, what do you think that they've learned this year from having the network? Because it, you know, at first glance, it doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah, I would say, I would hope. These are things I hope they've learned. Number one, that whoever was doing their research is very, very flawed when they thought there was like a WWE fan and I don't know how many households. I mean, it was just their numbers were ridiculous. And I don't... You know, I should clarify because there's been, you know, civil suits brought against them for, basically pie in the sky numbers, I think, is the idea for the stock purposes. And this is just my opinion. I think they actually believe those numbers. I don't think they were intentionally misleading anyone. I think they bought into their own BS, essentially. And so I would hope they've learned that. As far as the actual network is concerned, I don't feel like they've learned enough. You know, it's what you said. They have too much, Attitude Era content, and that's great. I'm sure their research shows that that's when, you know, I mean, it's no secret. That's when wrestling was its most popular, is the Monday Night War you can go back to the territory days, but it was obviously spread out. So when WWE, the company, was really involved in this, and, you know, the Vince McMahon Jr. era, I get why they go to it, but it's not enough. and they need to do more of the now content. You talk about you're only on there a few times a month. Tom, I do this for a living, and I'm on there Tuesday nights for Main Event, which is no longer an issue. I should back up. Monday nights I'm on there for the Raw pre-show for 30 minutes, and then unless there's something on afterward that I need to catch, which is pretty rare, it doesn't go on after the show, and it's not on all day. Like I said, Tuesday's Main Event, and I'll catch NXT at my leisure normally because Zach Zimmerman is covering that show for the site. And then that might be it. You know, I mean, occasionally there's something that grabs me. I'm a bit of an extreme case because I just, you know, there's so many wrestling shows on right now that I need to keep an eye on that I'm just not going to sit down and check out the video on demand section as much as some people may enjoy. And that's cool. But, I mean, they need more now content. I really believe when they launched this thing, a big part of my day was going to be I have to have that network on in the background because who knows what they're going to bring up. Last Monday, they had the breaking news for the Randy Savage thing. Why would anyone have had that network on unless they missed WWE Superstars or Total Divas? I mean, you can check the lists that I do. I put those schedules together for the site every, you know, that run every morning, and I just end up shaking my head, going, it's the same content just over and over again. There needs to be a studio show. There need to be more things that make today's product seem as cool as they seem to think the Monday Night War era was. That's what I would hope they've learned, Tom, but I don't know that they've learned that yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's so often I actually say, you know, they're giving us so much product, 3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour here. But, you know, to be honest, I listen to your podcast, Wade's podcast. I listen to a couple other ones. You know, as much content as they're giving us, I'm still going out of my way to seek out entertaining content that takes, you know, a real approach to what's going on. So, you know, it's frustrating that they have this network and they have the infrastructure that's so difficult to create. And it just seems like, you know, everything that it's almost proving everything that we kind of thought about WWE, but like always we're trying to talk ourselves out of being true. And the fact that, you know, for some reason they're almost insulated within their own bubble, and they're not letting anyone break through. So I guess my follow up question, and then I'm done, would be, where do you see this network in a year? What do you think it'll look like in a year in terms of content? Do you think there'll be a change? What do you think we'll be saying a year from now?
All right, cool. Thank you so much for the call, Tom. I'm hoping that there is some sort of a studio show, you know, just something where it's like every day for a couple of hours, there's some new content on there that focuses on mostly what's happening in WWE today. And I'm not talking about, you know, this week in WWE, the 30-minute show they put out there, but something from, ideally from headquarters, or it could even, I don't think they're going to send anyone on the road, so it would probably have to be. But I want to see something that makes me feel like, even not just because of what I do, but I'll take it if that's the case, but just something that grabs you, that it makes you feel like, you know, at such and such time, As a WWE fan, speaking for you guys, I should have this on. Maybe I'm not going to watch it intently, but I should, you know, they drop some info on there. Maybe they're going to release a match. Maybe there's going to be a good interview on. Maybe they're going to have, you know, just, I would do that. I would do more things like the Steve Austin podcast interview with Vince McMahon. Hell, I would work out a deal with Podcast One to have those shows basically simulcast, where you're, you know, they can still air as podcasts. I mean, basically like they did with the Vince McMahon interview, but the video footage is available. And granted, not all of that is complete now content, but I think it at least feels new and it feels fresh because it's happening now. And if they don't want to work out a deal with Podcast One, okay. You know, and Jim Ross would fit into that too, by the way. But if they don't want to work out a deal with Podcast One, then do it in-house, you know, and just do things. Spotlight NXT, for the love of God, not just once in a while when they have a live special, but make a big fuss over that. Make that feel like a really important must-see show now on Wednesday nights. You know, those are the things. What I fear is that a year from now, it kind of looks like it does now. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. It's not like the numbers have been just – another thing I hope they've learned is that it's not as simple as just – here's our network, buy it for $9.99. It's a great price. Of course you're going to buy it. Why wouldn't you? We're going to hit our million mark, and it's going to be easy. They had to have learned by now, assuming they know what the UK numbers are now. They launched there officially today, and I would hope that once all the, you know, UK is kind of the last big market. I know there's still a big part of Canada, but the UK and Ireland are the most, you know, realistic places they're going to do some big business. China would be nice, but I don't even know how, you know, how many inroads they really have there anyway. So, I mean, but these are like the core WWE markets that are available in now. I would get the Canadian thing figured out as quickly as possible and try to get that into as many homes as I could. But it's just the overall content. You know, why aren't they doing something? It doesn't have to always be after Raw, but we've seen good videos. We've seen The Shield. We've seen Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania journey. We've seen things like that. Why aren't there more interviews? These aren't most, I mean, some of the documentaries, I'm sure, take some time and some man hours, but a simple sit-down interview can't be that expensive. I mean, you have all the equipment there at Raw and SmackDown anyway. Why not take someone away for an hour and do that interview? I think that would be very popular. That would be destination programming. So that's what I hope we see. But what do I think it looks like a year from now? I think we may see some of that, but I just don't know if they really realize that this could be bigger if they would just put the work in. I'm not sensing that they're anxious to really ramp this up, but I know they say, well, you know, it's the first year. Hey, some of these things should have been ready for the first year. There's no reason they shouldn't have been. But let's keep rolling through the calls. Believe me, Tom, I could spend all night talking about my frustrations with the network. And I will still say, though, that for $9.99, as much as I'm railing on this thing, it really is a great value. I mean, when you just think that, you know, if you're like me and you were getting the HD feed, you were paying $55 for the pay-per-view alone. And now it's like, yeah, I wish things were better. But it is nice to have that archive if I ever need to go in there. If I had more downtime just to go in there and explore and watch an old show for the hell of it. So as much as I complain, it is a hell of a value. And so if you're somebody who's not on board yet, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But I would tell you that, hey, next time they run a free special or something like that, yeah, I definitely recommend you give it a shot. Let's go to 305. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
What's going on, DJ from Miami?
Hey, DJ, what's going on tonight?
I got two questions and two comments. I guess we could start with the panel. Do you think that if Austin was there and not Shawn Michaels, it would be better because Austin and Hogan can do that back and forth thing?
I think Austin would have made it better because he wouldn't have been in clown around mode. I mean, that's just kind of where Shawn is. You know, Shawn's not engaged. You can tell. And I don't even think he tries to hide it. You know, I don't think Shawn is sitting down watching WWE programming on a regular basis. He's got a life, you know, and not that people who, you know, like Austin types don't, but Shawn just, he's got family, he's got his hunting shows, he's just got outside projects, and it really seems like he's just kind of moved away from WWE. If they need him for something, they call, but it's not like he's just plugged in, where I think Austin would be, and I think Austin would be a lot more conscious of how he's coming across than Shawn is, where he just feels like he can go out there and crack a few jokes and wing it, and it's going to, you know, people are going to accept it, because by and large they do. So, but I do think, yeah, it would have been better if it, not because of the back and forth with Hogan, but just because Austin would be a little more engaged. He clearly is. He's keeping up on things. It comes across in his podcast. He's very opinionated, and yeah, he would want to come off. He would care more than Shawn Michaels does.
Right. That's what I think too.
What else, DJ? We got a lot of callers tonight, man.
All right. Yeah, all right. All right. My next thing is that, okay, now that they're back, so what is your pick for the Rumble, the last four? Because I think it's going to be Ryback, Roman, Ziggler, and Bryan.
Ryback, Roman, Ziggler, and Bryan? Was that it?
Yeah, the last four in the Rumble.
Yeah,
I was wondering what your pick was.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you guys my official preview and predictions on Royal Rumble Sunday, as I always do. And so I'll give you some ideas here, but it's not like I'm holding back. I just honestly haven't sat down. The final four can be tricky. For instance, if Daniel Bryan isn't going to win it, I don't know that you want him around for the final four if it's going to be another babyface winning. You know, and so Daniel Bryan belongs in that final four, whether or not he's there. If he's in that final four, it's either a heel winning or he's winning. Big Show is a guy that we saw get just tossed around tonight. Right before the Royal Rumble, they decide, hey, tonight's the night to show Brock Lesnar, you know, giving him the F5, and somebody else, Roman Reigns, bouncing him over the top rope. It was just stunning to me. Like, my God, why of all nights, why would you pick tonight? But with their mentality, he could be a Final Four guy. So I guess just for the hell of it, I'll go Reigns, Daniel Bryan, Big Show, and I don't even really buy this one, but maybe I'll just say Bray Wyatt, because they may have tipped their cards tonight with Rusev when they talked about, I don't even remember who said it, but basically, yeah, I think it was R-Truth basically implying that all the Americans are going to gang up on him, and that might be a way to get him out of the match without doing much damage. So, that's just a shot in the dark there. You said you had a little bit more, though?
Yeah, one more thing real quick. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when Brock said he's a prize fighter, do you think that was a hint going, okay, I'm leaving? That's it. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
I don't think so, DJ, and thank you for calling. I didn't come away feeling like that was what he was going for there. I actually saw it more as that's been his character all along. He's been the guy that, he's got the limited dates, and so he's kind of a mercenary at times. He's a prize fighter in that, when he first came back, Paul Heyman was, it was always driving home. What was it? And he used to say this with Punk, we fight for money, that kind of a thing. So I didn't see it that way. I know where you're going with it, but I just didn't see it come across that way. I don't think there was any hidden meaning to take from it, but maybe I'm seeing it wrong. Next up, 773, who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Boris from Chicago.
Boris from Chicago, a PW Torch livecast regular. Do you feel like you're cheating on the Torch when you come over and call this show?
No, sir.
Well, that's good. No, all right. Whatever lets you sleep well at night, Boris.
Oh, man. I'm woke today. This 3 hours kept me up. If it wasn't for the legends. But my whole thing is with this event, I was entertained as far as being entertained due to the fact that now I do have the New Japan World Network, and
cool,
I got to see the New Year's Dash, which is their Monday after their WrestleMania. And, I'm not amazed by what I'm seeing on Raw, because, now my view is tainted with something good. So, therefore, all I want to see, if it's going to be Daniel Bryan, let's get there. It doesn't matter with the smoke and mirrors, what they're doing tonight, which, you can see that, if you watch the New Japan show and you get the network and then you watch the actual Monday presentation, this here pales in comparison, simply because these guys went out again the next show after their big event and tore the house down again, patched up, bandaged up, and everything, and told a new story. So my whole thing is with this Monday Night Raw and getting to WrestleMania is Daniel Bryan didn't complete the journey, a complete journey, which is what I'm seeing with New Japan right now. So now I got to, I'm on the network right now, the New Japan Network, and I'm going to see what's available for me to watch, because it's Monday again.
Hey, Boris, did you watch Friday's New Japan Pro Wrestling television show on HD Network? Or I guess now it's Access Network.
Thank you for asking. I'm a cord cutter, so I have zero access to Access TV. So yes, I'm going to find it. I'm going to find somehow a way, because I have Cody. And I'm going to see if it's on Cody, if you know what that is.
I don't, but it's probably better that I don't know. We'll just leave it at that. But any questions tonight or anything, Boris? You just wanted to call in and rave about New Japan World, their online streaming service.
Oh, let me participate in Monday. I really enjoy it. Yes, I marked out for everything. I was hoping to hear a damn. I didn't get that. I was hoping for Harlem Heat, because they basically just promoted WCW, so I was expecting something. So I'm hoping that we do get a match with Sting, because I really enjoyed that. I wasn't a big Sting fan, you know, because I'm always a Ric Flair fan. So I didn't want Ric Flair to take the hit, you know, take one for the team, but he did, you know. So I was like, okay with that. But my thing is to you, we know this journey should, no matter what, end with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Again, simply because his journey was never completed. No shape or form was his journey completed. If you look at it from the New Japan perspective, his journey was never completed. I'm seeing AJ Styles, you know, move his journey forward as a Ric Flair-esque, because he does the woos or something over there now. I'm really enjoying that. I'm sorry, I keep going back to New Japan. But what do you think, or should we go to get to Daniel Bryan? Because there's no other way around to this. And that's all I have for tonight. And I hope.
All right, cool, man. Yeah, I mean, I'm wholeheartedly behind Daniel Bryan winning the Rumble, going on to Mania, challenging Brock Lesnar for the championship, because I think that's the match that people are most likely to buy. And, you know, with Daniel Bryan, it's not even so much for me that I know what you're saying, the journey wasn't complete. If I didn't think Daniel Bryan was the right guy for box office and just everything else with WWE, I'd say, well, tough luck. You know, there's other wrestlers who their story didn't get told. So it's not like a pity thing out of him being injured, or it's not because he didn't win the Royal Rumble last year. It's because he really is. You know, to use their lingo, I think he's best for business in a match with Brock Lesnar. I really feel like that's the way to go, and I don't even mind if he drops the title at WrestleMania the night after Seth Rollins cashes in. I'm cool with that. But I just think that from a business standpoint, that's the match you go with. I think it's just too easy. Boris is talking about New Japan. For those who haven't seen the show, man, go out of your way. If you have Access TV, if you had HDNet, chances are you have access. I know Comcast doesn't have it. My buddy Dave was telling me he doesn't have access to Access either. But if you have it, it's on 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern, I believe it is, on Friday nights. It's on Up Against Impact. But you will see, if you're just like, oh, God, whatever, I've heard enough about this New Japan, I didn't order the pay-per-view, I don't want to hear about it anymore, you owe it to yourself as a wrestling fan to go out of your way to see this show. Not just for the wrestling. I wrote about this in a blog that I posted shortly before Raw went up, but the commentary on this is phenomenal. Mauro Ranallo as a play-by-play voice is just excellent. He is a great big call guy. I want to see more of Mauro to know, you know, does he have more than one speed? You know, some guys, they can, you know, it, 3 hours of Mauro doing that for everything on Raw, in Divas matches, everything would just be like, oh, you know, too much. But we know that this guy can call a great match, and the impressive thing about it is he's doing it from a studio, a match that he's probably already seen. And to me, that creates a disadvantage, because you just, obviously you can't react naturally to it, but he manages to pull it off. And Josh Barnett, excellent in his role as a color commentator. If you're listening on Blog Talk and you want to hear Josh talk about this going into it and the confidence that he had that he and Mauro were the right guys for the job, it's a free audio interview that I did last week. I think it was last week. Everything starts to run together after a while. But Josh Barnett, New Japan Pro Wrestling color commentator, if the name sounds familiar, former UFC champ. He's, I think, over 50 fights, I think they said, or matches, I should say, that he had for New Japan. So he's definitely done both. He talked about CM Punk. He talked about Brock Lesnar. Some very interesting comments on both guys in the 25, 26, 27-minute interview that I did with him. So definitely check that one out. And Boris also mentioned the Torch, or I think I did. I'm on the PW Torch Livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com on Tuesdays, 4:30 Eastern, or I'm sorry, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. Similar format with Wade Keller. He's the host. I'm just riding shotgun, and we're taking your phone calls every Tuesday. Again, pwtorchlivecast.com, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. We'd love to hear from you. Let's keep rolling through the calls. Up now is 786. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. This is Kevin. I'm calling from Miami.
Kevin from Miami, another Miami caller. What's going on tonight?
Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Who do you think is up for induction this year? We obviously know that Macho Man Randy Savage is going to be inducted, but what other past superstars will fill up the Hall of Fame card?
I haven't heard anything yet. It's about that time where word's going to start leak. I'll make some phone calls on this. Maybe it's because if they go to Texas, then I think I can start going, all right, well, the Freebirds, it's time. And then, you know, maybe Bruiser Brody goes in there if they want to take that approach to it. But this year's a little trickier for me. I mean, there have been rumblings that, I mean, I think it was the NWO, some variation of that was supposed to go in before Bruno ended up accept. That was kind of the fallback plan there. There was no announcement of those guys tonight, and so I don't know if they would have them on the show this close to the Hall of Fame and then induct. I mean, I can't rule it out, but I just don't have a strong feeling about this year's class. You know, they have the big one with Savage, and I'm struggling to think if there's been any other names that have kind of been rumored. Who's on your mind for the Hall?
Well, since Hogan has been inducted individually, and so has Razor Ramon, I'm thinking Kevin Nash goes in as Diesel or Kevin Nash. I don't know. One or the other. I'm guessing Diesel. And then maybe down the road, they'll go in as a unit as the NWO.
That would be fine with me, and especially now that Nash's legal issues have been, and I'm just thrown out. Excuse me.
I had a little frog
in my throat. JPL
as well.
That, you know, he's another guy. Why not just, if they're really going to Texas next year, why not just wait? You know, he's a Texas guy. I mean, you heard the crowd reaction tonight. I would actually get a kick out of it. They're not as regional always as we think. I mean, there have been, when they were in Atlanta, there was a long list of former WCW types that just, like, made sense to me that they didn't go with. But I would have no problem. I think you could easily fill up if they play Cowboy Stadium, I think you could easily fill up an entire draft class with people who just have strong connections to Texas.
Right. I think Sting as well, but I think Sting will probably be held back until 32, perhaps.
Yeah, I would, because I think it's awkward, especially with him feuding with Triple H. You know, hey, we're feuding, and that's I assume that's the WrestleMania match now more than ever. But by the way, we're going to induct you into our Hall of Fame.
Exactly. So I'm assuming we'll see at 32, not at 31. Concerning Sting, I feel like WWE has done a great job with his booking, you know, booking him as the vigilante, and he comes across like a hero because he not only did he put the authority out of power briefly, but then he also, you know, was the reason why Ziggler, Ryback, everyone will be rehired now. So I think they've done a great job with Sting, especially to the newer audience that may not be familiar with him. He comes across as a hero, as like an ultimate good guy. And I think this could be I'm not sure. I wanted to ask you, if you think Sting and Triple H would be the only match Sting has in WWE, what does your heart tell you, your gut feeling about that?
No. You nailed it. It's just kind of a gut feel on this. I think there's more they can do with him. I think they may be able, but, you know, at the same time, let's see what the performance is like. You know, if he's in there with Triple H and it's a bad match, well, I don't think Triple H is going to take the heat for that one. So if he goes out there and has a passable performance, I could see them do more with Sting. Not on a regular basis, but it may not even be until the following WrestleMania. I mean, you never know, but I would, if I were them, I wouldn't let that out. I'd want to kind of leave it. You don't want to false advertise, but at the same time, you want to make it feel as once in a lifetime as you possibly can.
Right. I know people probably don't want to hear this anymore, but what are the chances of Taker staying at 32? Since I think WWE needs a big match for 32, since it's going to have to fill up like 90,000 plus at Cowboy Stadium.
Oh boy, I there's a big part of me that feels like, since we're not getting that this year, yeah. I just,
no, I mean,
you know,
next
I don't.
Year, 32, 32. If he sticks
around, I know,
and he has
a
run.
But they're another year older, you know, and I just want to see if Taker, I mean, he's advertised for various things, you know, he's on the bus and all that. Does he actually get to, does he actually get in the ring? And I know there's rumors of a Bray Wyatt match, and it won't surprise me if that happens, but I would just think, like, if he was truly going to work a match with Sting, you don't want them both getting another year older. And so, it does feel like it's not going to happen, and next year, Maybe they get Steve Austin. Maybe it's just, you know, it's not Sting, but it's Undertaker's last ride. Maybe he can have one more match and you position it that way, that this is the last match Undertaker will ever have. Another guy who, with, you know, Texas roots that you could put in a WWE Hall of Fame in Texas, by the way.
Right. So do you think we've seen the last of Taker, or do you still believe that we'll see one or two more matches out of him?
I mean, there's just enough rumblings out there now that he's going to be back for Mania that I guess I kind of assume he will. But, it's just watching him last year, I know he had the concussion. He was slow, and I worry about the guy's health and just the things that have been reported about his health and how he was doing, how he was having a hard time getting ready for that match even. I have no problem if Undertaker wants to go out there, and I've said this for years now, forget the trying to have the five-star show-stealing match, forget it. Go out there and go back to the old-school Undertaker approach, hit the signature spots, and make it against an opponent who fans know going in, okay, this is going to be Taker doing, you know, the five moves that you know him for. He'll sell a little bit, but this isn't going to be a 20-minute match. This is going to be kind of a Taker showcase, and yay, we got to see Taker at WrestleMania. That's fine. The problem is I don't know that he wants to do that. I think he easily could have toned it down by now, and I just don't know that he wants to do anything but go out there and try to have that potential show-stealing performance. But the problem is, I just don't know that he has it in him anymore.
That's true. The only thing he's toned down in the ring at WrestleMania is that dive off the out the ring, out to the floor, the WrestleMania signature dive he would do.
Well, you know, when the cameraman doesn't catch you, that would be your clue to, you know, probably not worth the risk.
Right. All right, well, thanks for your time, Jason, and have a good night, all right?
Hey, thank you for calling, Kevin. It was nice talking with you, and let's go to a guy who's been helping us out on the site. I think we're going to be seeing more of this gentleman. His name is John Moore, and he is joining us from Hollywood tonight. John, welcome to the show.
Yes, this is John Moore. How are you doing today?
So far, so good, man.
And I noticed how you had more variety in calls with, they didn't give Roman Reigns the mic tonight, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, good point.
Okay, I had a couple of questions. My first is an interesting one. It has to do with Bray Wyatt.
I'll be the judge of that, mister.
No problem. What I do notice is, even though he had a bad year last year, he did win most of his feuds. But what else happened was, he did win most of his feuds, and like Steve Austin has been pushing for, he should stop doing promos like on a weekly basis. Because like what I used to like was when he started off, he was mysterious, just on the rocking chair, just observing matches. That was when Bray Wyatt was money. But obviously with them giving Bray Wyatt a second win over Daniel Bryan almost a year since his win last time, they're obviously protecting the guy. Throw the Taker match out of the window. What do you think they're trying to build this equity for? And what do you think they're trying to do with Bray Wyatt?
I don't think they know, John. I don't. I mean, you mentioned it. Yeah, he kind of wins his feuds, but it's never in a standout showcase, my God, Bray Wyatt's the man kind of way. He just feels like a guy they can plug in to work with somebody on top. You know, maybe if they need somebody to lose to, if it is Roman Reigns is the guy they want to go with, well, it's safe to have Bray lose in their minds. And I love the idea of not having him cut a promo unless there's something for him to really say. You know, that when they just send him out there and he just rambles on and talks about things that are, you know, in this mysterious way, but when you really pay attention to what he's saying, he's not saying anything. That's not helping him. So I do like the idea of just like, okay, if there's a reason for him to talk, turn him loose, but otherwise, no. And so I wish I felt like they had some direction in mind. I mean, if Sting's back next year, maybe Bray Wyatt faces Sting, but I just don't feel like they have a real course mapped out with Bray Wyatt. I don't think he kind of won his program with Ambrose, but is it really over? And what did he gain from it? You know, I mean, are we looking at Bray Wyatt any differently because of his program with Ambrose?
Exactly. He didn't gain anything from the Jericho one either.
No, not at all. And that's a crime. I can't believe Chris Jericho came back, and I don't know how much responsibility, if any, he has for this. But, I mean, he came back with – it was obvious to me the goal was to help Bray Wyatt shine, have this compelling program, and we hardly even heard from those guys. And then to pay it off on just kind of a TV match where, yeah, Jericho went to the top of the cage and all that. That should have meant something. That should have been Bray Wyatt as the man coming out of that program, and he just was not.
Yeah. Okay. My second question has to do with Ryback Dolphin Rowan. Okay. I know it was to show like maybe ruthlessness from the authority. Why do you think they did it? And why? And what do you think the point of was for? Do you think they're trying maybe build like a dark horse to win the Royal Rumble or something? Or and in that
I
kind
guess.
Of, do you have a dark horse to win?
Give me that. I'm not quite sure where you're going with the authority part of that. I think I missed something. Who is the dark horse you had in mind?
I don't have. I mean, the dark horse I was thinking was maybe Bray Wyatt. I don't see who he'll go against. But with the Ryback Dolphin Rowan thing, why do it in general?
Well, I think, you know, to bring them back on this show, I'm hopeful that Dolph is a guy that they feel like can carry part of the Rumble. I don't know that Rowan gets a big reaction. Maybe if he does, it's just, yay, he's back, those guys are back. But maybe they get a little more for Ryback, maybe they get something. I think they'll get something for Dolph. You know, I think whatever reaction Ryback gets is probably the one he would have gotten anyway. You know, that's been kind of the issue with this whole firing storyline, is I don't think they ever got to the point where fans bought into it, thought those guys were really fired, and really wanted them back. I think most fans, like, over the age of 10, were just sitting there going, they'll probably be back this week. And then the show ended, and they weren't back, and it wasn't like, oh, wow. It was just, they'll probably be back next week. Yeah, and so that's an issue when you can't convince your audience that these guys are fired. And so how excited are people going to be when they come back? I don't know, but if nothing else, John, at least they didn't, hey, the NWO and DX are here. These guys should form an invading faction. There was a small part of me very worried they were going to try to do something stupid like that.
But, you know, it's interesting to see what they'll do with him next. He might be facing Rusev at Mania if they don't go through with the Cena thing.
Who's that? Ryback or Ziggler?
Rusev and Ryback, yeah, because that's what they were building towards before the whole firing thing, if you remember.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's one if they want to play it out at Fastlane, they could, but I think that's it. Mania makes sense to me. I don't, unless John Cena is going to do the honors at Mania, I don't want to see him face Rusev. And it's not a Cena hate thing. It's I really like Rusev, and I think you need to keep him strong. And so I know Cena, he wasn't high profile enough last year, and he worked with Bray Wyatt. I don't care. I don't want to see Rusev lose. I think that would be a mistake.
Mm-hmm. And as a side note to the whole Ryback thing, it seems like WWE's using Talk Is Jericho a little bit to, you know, that's like their unofficial podcast. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I still haven't. That's one of the rare Jericho interviews that I've yet to listen to, and I've had people point out to me that, you know, hey, basically what Ryback said in the promo, that was a short version of what he said on the Jericho podcast. And so I'll catch up eventually. I think it was around the holidays, and so I started falling behind on a couple of things. But I mean, they're obviously lining up Jericho and Steve Austin with guests, and lately it seems like even more so Jericho than Austin, but it might just be easier because Jericho's on the road with them sometimes too. So I don't want to sit here and say like they're pressuring Jericho to interview this guy because it'll help with the storyline. It just may be the most convenient thing for Jericho.
Okay, that was a good thank you so much, and I hope to write more for the site. Have a good night.
Cool, man. Yeah, well, we'll definitely talk soon. John is he's been kind of a jack of all trades filling in for us. He bailed me out on Lucha Underground once or twice already, and then he jumped in and handled the TNA Impact coverage. You can find John's work on the main page. His most recent is Friday's TNA Impact Wrestling Review, the first Friday night show on Destination America. And then Hayden Gleed, his audio review is available as an all-access audio show this week, and also Hayden's Hit List. And I also want to give a little love to Darren Gutterich, who is doing our Ring of Honor television reviews. His review is available of the show that featured the debut of Alberto Del Rio, a.k.a. Alberto El Patron. That took place over the weekend. That went up at Darren's Ring of Honor television review probably an hour or two before Raw, so just look for that on the main page at ProWrestling.net. Up next, and by the way, there may still be time. Let me see how many calls we got. And maybe we can get some other people in. You're welcome to call us at 773-897-6321. Can't make any promises, but we'll do our best. And up now is 347. Who are you? Where are you calling from? And, of course, the damn thing didn't take. Let's try that again. 347, you should be there now. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason, it's Corey from New York.
Corey, how are you? I owe you an email, my friend.
Not a problem. First of all, I just wanted to go and say, you know, a little shout-out to all the people in the Blog Talk chat room tonight, especially Icon One and Johnny from Hollywood and all the other good guys out there keeping it entertaining while waiting on hold. So that's
sucking up to them because they're being, not Johnny, but some of them are being a little tough on the callers, so you just don't want them to be tough on you, right?
Oh, they've been tough on me for the last, you know, year, so, I mean, I'm cool with it. I find it funny.
That's very good. Cool.
But just wanted a couple of quick things tonight. One, this is more of, I guess, maybe a philosophy thing that I would think. I don't get when you have a show before one of your big three pay-per-views of the year that you wouldn't have, maybe not jobber matches, but you would have the guys who you would think have a decent chance of winning the Rumble would face guys that have basically no chance. When you have, you know, Wade Barrett face Dean Ambrose in a match, you know, it's kind of two guys where you would at least think have a chance. Maybe not Wade Barrett, but he's the Intercontinental champion, and it would seem like you're actually caring about the title for another, like, few moments. And you're having, you know, doing clean jobs again. It just kind of doesn't make sense. I was wondering your take on that.
I really wish they would have done a lot more to focus on the Rumble. I think Miz and Mizdow, Miz kind of hinted that they were both in, but I mean, we went into the show, I think, knowing 10 guys, and maybe they've announced some since I stopped doing, or, you know, since I did the Raw show. But during the actual show, I think that's as close as we came to additional entrants. And they still have SmackDown to go, and I know they're trying to place more of an emphasis on the SmackDown show, but it's still a work in progress. I mean, viewership-wise, it was up, but it's still, I mean, they're like 2.6 million, which is, you know, ballpark what they've been doing Fridays a lot of times anyway, so there's still a lot of work to be done there. I hope they're not looking at this going, well, we'll hype the title match on Raw, and then we still have SmackDown for the Rumble match, because there's just aren't going to be as many people watching. I mean, don't get me wrong, I hope they at least make the effort, but there should have been more emphasis all along on the Royal Rumble match. They always take this approach when they have, like, all that time, the rare times where they have, like, 6 weeks between the pay-per-view. They wait until maybe 4 weeks out. A lot of times, three. That'll be the excuse if there's a quick turnaround. Oh, it just didn't have enough time. Yet they take the same approach if they have a bunch of time. They just wait until 3 weeks out. And I think it's kind of the chaotic Vince McMahon booking style. But I laughed my ass off tonight watching the pre-show. You mentioned the IC title or the non-title match that opened the show with Ambrose and Barrett. It was completely worth watching, and I don't say this often about the pre-show, but it was totally worth watching just to see how they set that up. Kane interrupted a Bad News Barrett interview with Renee Young to tell him that part of his duties is to basically keep an eye on talent and give evaluations. And he, ever since Barrett won the IC title, he hasn't been very impressed by him. Corey, what would you say Kane's one-loss record is for the last, 3 years?
I'm guessing it's a lot more losses than wins. How about that one?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's just that part of it just cracked me. I'm like, Kane is worried about how someone's doing. But so you go with that match, and then they tell you afterward, the main event, or the, well, not the main event, but the Raw pre-show crew, can't wait to tell you then that, oh, and by the way, that's a non-title match. And basically, once the match played out on Raw, it was, well, of course it is, because even though he won, they're not talking about that puts him in line for a title shot and Ambrose is excited about it. No, it was just another match. It was just another secondary champion losing. It's the same story that we've seen every time Wade Barrett has held that championship or any secondary title. He wins the title. We get excited for like 30 seconds and then realize, oh, he's just going to lose a bunch of non-title matches. For God's sake, Corey, the man lost to Sin Cara.
But you know, but because of the wonderful world of WWE, we have 50-50 booking, and he got his win back. Bringing that up, actually, not Sin Cara, but the best thing that I think I saw all week. I haven't watched Lucha Underground from this past week yet. I heard that there was a very good Prince Puma match on there, but the segment that they did with Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins, I think might have been the best segment easily of the week, and I was surprised that they didn't try to relive that again on Raw, the show that a lot more people watch. I haven't heard your take on what you thought of that segment, but I really thought that was a key moment, Seth Rollins' growth as a performer on the mic.
Oh, yeah. Jake and I got together and did .NET Weekly. It was kind of a combo show where we spent a lot of time talking about SmackDown, and we both raved about that. Jake Barnett covers SmackDown for the site on Thursdays, so you can definitely check out his live coverage every Thursday night when SmackDown's airing on Sci-Fi. And, I mean, that was the highlight of the night for me. Was I just thought the performances were rock solid. I loved the way Rollins got up on the second rope and just, like, was leaning in right in Heyman's face and talking down to him. I think the seeds are planted. I don't know if it's a red herring, a swerve, where they're kind of making us think, well, maybe they will be aligned, but maybe they won't. But I kind of like that. If they are going to be aligned, that they didn't beat us over the head with it tonight. You know, so let's see how this plays out. If they're not going to be aligned, then I would say, yeah, do a little bit more with it on Raw. But if not, I kind of like it because now obviously they have the footage, so when it's time to connect the dots with the video afterward, they can play that. But they didn't just beat us over the head with it and make it obvious that Paul Heyman's going to end up with Seth Rollins. But when you see that Rollins and Heyman kind of had this moment on SmackDown, if you will, even though Rollins was threatening to basically destroy Paul Heyman. By the end of it, there was kind of a hint that, hey, the Authority aren't going to be in power forever, and that's how Heyman got Rollins to back off and not curb stomp him. And you also had Rollins praising Heyman as, like, Brock's biggest weapon, his biggest asset. And then on Raw tonight, you see Brock Lesnar almost in babyface mode at the end. There are some signs there, Corey.
Absolutely. And before I go back into the Shark Tank known as the chat room, so I do a quick thing just letting everyone know that thanks to Jason Powell and Zach Zimmerman and a lot of other people, the Workshoot Wrestling Podcast is up for Best New Wrestling Podcast /Show of the Year. And if people, you or me, and go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com, if they would vote for us, I'd be much appreciated. And, you know, try to listen to the show and keep on supporting ProWrestling.net.
Well, hey, better yet, where do they go to actually hear your show?
I believe that would be this little website called, I almost forgot my own website. That's how smart I am. WorkedEDShoot.Podomatic.com, or you can just put Workshoot Wrestling Podcast in iTunes.
All right, well, there you go. Check out Corey's podcast. Vote for the podcast, all that good stuff. Corey, good to hear from you. I do apologize. I owe you an email, as I mentioned at the top of the show. I wasn't ignoring you. Just when I thought about the show tonight, I'm like, shoot, I didn't get back to Corey. And I thought, I hope he calls in and doesn't think I'm a complete a-hole. So he did, and now I will have to get back to him in email form. So, Corey, look for it. Won't happen tonight, too damn late, but maybe tomorrow at the latest, Wednesday, I hope. I say that to people sometimes, and it's like the next Monday I get back to them. But I do owe you one, and you can certainly hound me if it becomes like later in the week and I haven't got back to you yet. Up next, somebody's been waiting a while to talk. It's 515. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Neil from Des Moines.
Neil from Des Moines. I'm doing wonderful. The Packers aren't in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's okay. I want to talk about the broadcasting. You know, I heard earlier you guys brought up Mauro doing New Japan, and I could listen to him to do 12 hours of wrestling.
I hope that's true, Neil. You know, I just haven't heard enough of him. I do want to know, does he have more than one speed? And, you know, it's just because, hey, hearing that call of one match, and I've seen some of his MMA work too. Mauro was really good at that main event call. But I want to know, there's more to it than just that. I mean, there are some guys that can go at that pace. They, you know, they have a good main event call, but they're also trying to do the main event call for the opener. And I'm not doubting Mauro. I'm just saying I don't know.
Yeah, no, I just love how much research he does. But I also wanted to comment on the switch up on the Raw and the SmackDown announced teams. I was so scared when I heard that Booker T and JBL and Cole were going to do Monday nights. And I believe this was week three. And week one was terrible, like I expected. But the last 2 weeks have been great.
What are you liking about it? I'm not feeling great, but hey, it's all subjective. What are you liking about that broadcast team?
It doesn't seem much as like, I don't know, as much fighting, as much, you know, one of them says something to put down the other one, or it seemed more like a team to me. Of course, I love Jerry Lawler, and I thought SmackDown was okay, but I really enjoyed the last 2 weeks of Raw with their broadcasting. I really have.
Well, cool. JBL seems a little more tolerable right now. I don't know if it's the threat that, you know, Booker T. Wade Keller of the Torch reported, PWTorch.com reported that they wanted him in that role to kind of go at JBL a little bit when he said certain things. And they were aware that some of the things that JBL says were just like, oh, God, turn off moments and all that. And so that was kind of supposed to be Booker's role. I'm not hearing that. You know, I haven't heard it yet. I don't doubt Wade's reporting, as I've said, because I think that is what they have in mind, but I'm not really hearing Booker go at him. Like, tonight there were times, because I end up just covering the show. I can't help myself. I end up kind of zoning out the broadcast team at times as I'm trying to write and pay attention to the match, and my brain only functions on so many levels. But there were times where I kind of looked, listening, like, all right, what's Booker have to say about this? There's times where I forget Booker's on the team. He's not, you know, he chimes in occasionally, but if nothing else, we're not getting that, oh, yeah, shucky ducky, quack, quack crap that we were getting on the Raw pre-show. That's what I was fearing we'd get from Booker. And so far, we haven't had that.
Gosh. Yeah, my gosh, that's what I was fearing, too. And, that's probably a good thing Booker T isn't talking as much. I mean, when you get all three guys talking all the time, it's, I don't know, harder to follow, I guess.
For me, it's just easier to zone them out. I mean, at least I'll give them credit for this, because this has been a problem, like, with TNA when they had Todd Kennelly and Mike Tenay calling together. I couldn't always tell them apart. I really had to struggle to, like, who's who here? I'm not even sure. With WWE, it's they're distinctive. I know who is who. On the SmackDown side, you know, Colin Lawler or Colin Lawler. Saxton's the one that I'm not a big fan of so far, and I don't even think it's him, because I think he's capable of doing more. I think he's being thrust into this spot where they want him to be kind of a heel, but not really. He's a really safe heel. I always talk about it when he would do Main Event with Michael Cole. It would always be him making, like, defending the heels, but they'd show him on camera doing it, and he'd smile in a way that told you he didn't mean it, he's just having fun. And that's a horrible position to be put in. And so I don't think you need three-man broadcast teams at all. I really don't. But I think Saxton has something to offer, but I don't think anyone can make that work where I'm a heel, but not really.
I agree with you. Well, I'm looking forward to the Rumble. I think they're probably going to put Rollins over, is my guess, but who knows?
But we don't know, you know, and that's kind of the fun here. We don't know.
fan. That's why we watch it.
Absolutely. I just hope whatever happens, like, it matters. And thank you so much for calling, Neil. Because you go back to, their pay-per-views start to run together after a while. But I think it's been two pay-per-views in a row where one of them was like, well, TLC. It was John Cena and Seth Rollins are fighting for the title shot, and Cena wins it, and then they add Rollins anyway. And then you go back, of course, to Survivor Series, and you had the stipulation that, Cena, I think, could have lost it or something, and they just ended up adding Rollins to the mix. And then you go back to Survivor Series, and, of course, that was just erased 5 weeks later. And so I at least this one, barring some weird thing with Fastlane, which that name still scares me a little bit, I would think that whoever wins the Rumble is going to go on and actually challenge for the title at Mania. But on this weird streak they're on where they just make their own stipulations meaningless, I can't rule out anything. 936, you're up next. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Bruce from Huntsville, Texas.
Bruce from Huntsville, Texas. What's going on in the Lone Star State tonight?
Not too much. Unfortunately, I was not able to see the show tonight, so your footage is actually a benefit to me. But from what I read and everything, and your commentary on it, I did like how they brought Sting in. But I was not happy at all with Bray Wyatt's match. I thought that made zero sense whatsoever, having him go up against Dean. Both of those guys, to me, could possibly maybe win the Rumble. Yeah. Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, the caller earlier, and I didn't mean to dodge. I'm happy you brought that up again. As far as dark horses this year, the only real dark horse scenario I see is if they do something quirky with Fastlane, and there is some weird screw job element to the Rumble that just sets up something that needs to be settled at Fastlane. It would be a shock, but I think it would be a bad shock. Like, really, you screwed with the Royal Rumble? And I think that's the only way we see a Bray Wyatt type involved in that mix, and he's not. I mean, I don't see Bray Wyatt challenging for the title at WrestleMania. So I mean, there's only a couple of strong candidates for this thing that realistically are going to go to Mania. But I like that we're not sure, you know, and that we're not sure about who's going to come out of the triple threat match with the championship. I mean, I really. It's pretty rare that I don't feel like at this time of year I know what the WrestleMania main event is. And right now, you know, I may have some ideas, and maybe it is as simple as, hey, it's going to be Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar, and you're right. But maybe their awful booking last year and their just reluctance to see it with Bryan is actually working to their advantage this year, because we're all sitting here going, yeah, but I don't know if they'll go with Daniel Bryan.
I hope they do. I like the Daniel Bryan Lesnar. I just hope and pray they don't do the cash in at Mania, because then you're getting right back to a year and a half ago at SummerSlam when he beat Cena clean and then lose 30 seconds later to cash in of Orton. So.
There's a dark horse. If I have to go with the dark horse, there he is, Randy Orton. I'm happy you mentioned him. I'll throw him in there as he's been to the top, obviously, so it's not like your true dark horse, but I guess if you had to pick someone realistic to be in the title picture, someone that makes sense, he certainly makes more sense to me than Dean Ambrose or Ryback
be surprised if we see him in Philadelphia Sunday. But with all this Bray Wyatt thing and then splitting him from his Wyatt family and all this, could we possibly get the Rotunda brothers?
Like a Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas combo platter deal?
Tag team.
I hope not. I'm going to put you back on. We're just having some connection issues, but I appreciate the call, and I'll definitely address that. I think that I don't want to see it. You know, I just think maybe someday, if they can come up with a great way to tie these things together, the Bo Dallas character and the Bray Wyatt character, but I think both are still being, you know, just are still taking shape. I mean, Bo Dallas, I think, should have been money for them. I think there's a way to make that very fluky, vulnerable heel work, and they didn't do it. You know, when Miz won the IC, I think it was, championship, and was doing the, you know, just kind of getting the moneymaker thing launched, I said, give it, you know, Dallas should have been the guy because he's new, and winning that title would mean something, and then I think people would see him as a vulnerable champion, and it would put him on the map, and they didn't go there. And so let's get him back. Let's get, and let him settle in. Hopefully they have some ideas for him, and it's not just, well, he's an undercard guy. I mean, for a little bit there, he was doing, I mean, there was one right before he left, didn't he, like, take the same move as Heath Slater from, like, John Cena, maybe? I'm like, oh, no. So hopefully the time off is going to do him some good. Rumblings that, you know, he's due back, so you got to look at him as a potential Rumble candidate as well. But I just don't want to see Bray and Bo Dallas together. Not yet. Maybe at some point, but not yet. Somewhere way down the road. Let those characters be established and try to stay away from it. I know it comes up in podcasts, but I do think there's a portion of the audience out there that doesn't realize they're brothers. And if you did it right, maybe you surprise some people somewhere down the road. Maybe I'm underestimating that, though. I'm not sure. Up next is 347. Unless, do we already, is this another 347 or is this, no, this is another 347. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Chris from New York.
Good evening, Chris from New York. How are you tonight?
Fine. I have three quick questions. The first one is about Randy Savage. Do you think that McMahon putting him in the Hall of Fame puts that disgusting Stephanie McMahon rumor to bed? Because my point is, in real life, McMahon loves his kids so much that if Randy Savage ever actually did something to his kids, don't you think McMahon would have taken out some real-life retribution on him other than just not bringing him back to his wrestling show? The second question is about China. Given all her issues and especially the nasty things she has said about Stephanie and Triple H, do you envision a scenario where they would ever do business with her in any capacity? I mean, even though money is important, do you think that they hate her so much it's not worth it? And the last question is about all these new wrestling companies. Do you think McMahon takes them seriously, or from his point of view is they're not strong enough to ever challenge his company, so he just ignores them?
Okay, three good questions. I will address as we're down to the final 4 minutes of the show, so I'm going to try to go through these rapid fire as much as I can. I'll start in reverse order. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Vince McMahon is losing sleep because of, well, anyone from Lucha Underground to TNA. I would hope that some people are paying attention to them more, and especially Lucha Underground, with them doing some different things. I think there's things they can learn. I'm not saying, you know, just steal everything, but keep an eye on, just see wrestling presented in a different way, just as I would really hope that the people that matter in WWE are aware of New Japan. You know, not just like, well, we know it exists, but actually sat down and watched that the Wrestle Kingdom show. But I don't think he's like sitting around going, my God, all these wrestling shows are popping up. What are we going to do? China and WWE, tough. It's been pounded into our brain. Never say never in wrestling. And if they thought there was money to be made there and it was a big surprise moment, well, maybe. There's some issues, obviously, to work through. I don't know that she wants it. Would she do it for the payday? Could she play nice with Triple H and Stephanie? And could she play nice with Sean Waltman? I mean, there have been some real bad feelings there. And I would think that if she comes back, it's most likely as not so much a Hall of Fame the first time in, but I would think like something like tonight, you know, if there were a DX reunion, a full-on DX instead of the NWO, well, that would be a big surprise if China came back for that. But I think there's some bad feelings they need to work through, clearly. And then Randy Savage in the whole Hall of Fame. I'm going to direct you to the interview that Wade Keller did with Lanny Poffo. That one was on the PW Torch Livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com on Friday. And I'll let you hear what Lanny had to say about that, Chris. I know you listen to the show, but I'm down to the – and so maybe you've already heard it. But if you haven't, you can kind of hear it from Lanny's own, in his own words, his response to that. I, you know, I don't know that it puts it to rest until someone just until the McMahon families come out and says absolutely not and gives their version of the events. And even then, I think we're still going to be going, but it is what it is, man. I just don't know that rumor is ever going to be completely cleared. But we may have time for one, maybe two more callers. 908, you're up next. Who are you? Where are you calling from? And make it real quick.
How are you? My name is Jeff. I'm from New Jersey. I just have a quick question as a longtime watcher of wrestling.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and I'd like to see what your opinion is, have they gotten away from making the secondary titles have any prestige? It seems to me that they've just devalued those completely. I go back to the days when Tito Santana and Greg the Hammer Valentine used to have great matches. I want to know what your take is on that. I mean,
cool, man. Oh, sorry, I cut you off there because we're down to the wire here. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, right now it's nice to see Rusev with it. It's not that they – I don't think they care about the U.S. title as much as it makes sense for Rusev to carry around the U.S. championship because he's the Russian menace. But it's safe with him because he's not going to be losing to everyone. But, yeah, they've done major damage. I mean, we've talked about that many, many times on this show. I'm going to try to sneak in the last caller, 901. Who are you? Where are you calling from? And make your question very short, and I'll do my best to address it.
Hey, this is DJ from Marietta, Georgia.
What's up,
and,
man?
And nothing much. Just one quick question. What has happened to AJ Lee and Randy Orton? And I'll just listen.
Okay, thank you. Randy Orton, I still don't know where that report came from. I say that every week. Reports of a deviated septum needed some sort of a minor surgery. I would be surprised at this point. I haven't heard any medical updates, but I'd be surprised if he's not back at the Rumble. And AJ Lee, I know she's advertised for some house shows, so look for her again. That is going to do it for tonight. We got to everybody. We had one person drop off, and so that worked out. Take care, everybody. Same time, same place next week.